You forgot to tell everyone what tonight's episode is about.
CD. I got a whole Alpha CD. I got like two of them in my car.
How you got that?
So we're going to talk about it. Let's jump in. All right. So you are now tuned in to Virtuous Optimist Podcast. I am here with a dope artist from Louisiana. And I got onto this rapper back in like, 2014.
Damn.
So 2014, and I'm finally meeting him in the flesh. Dante Harris was down with you, babe.
How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm good. That's crazy though.
24, you serious? 2014?
Yes.
God damn.
Yes. Like, and so the Alpha, was that your first joint? Like your first?
I got a bunch of like bootleg CDs out there, you did, but that was my first like cover. Official. And yeah, it was my first official project. That's the one I claim.
Okay.
Anything else that people find, that's some gold.
Yeah. You
know, some secret shit.
Yeah, got it. So introduce yourself. Tell the people where you from, what's your origin. Tell them about yourself. How long you been rapping?
I'm Dante Harris. I'm from La Place, Louisiana. A lot of people would say I'm from LA now. You know.
Yeah, how long you been in?
Been at like 4.5 years.
You ain't from here yet. You ain't from here yet.
I'm just saying,
need about like 7 more years.
People be saying
you
that.
From here.
People be saying that, but like it's crazy. But
I'm gonna get into your journey too here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's pretty much it. I'm cool. I'm you know, best rapper alive. I bang that. Yeah, we just did the and I say that to say because like anybody who know about me that and what type of shit I do, like we did the Hub Radio shit.
What's the Hub Radio?
The Hub Radio is like a Compton-based radio station. Oh. Everybody know, you know, who would be the golden rap right now?
The golden rap right now?
Like right now, alive.
The golden rap right now.
Like alive, though. Not pop or nobody like that.
Yeah. I would say Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah.
So Kendrick been to that radio station and it's like, to be the best, you gotta beat the best.
Yeah.
And,
so that's what you aiming? Like that's what you're trying to do?
I mean, of course, because if you shoot for the moon, even if you miss, you don't land in the stars, period.
Right.
So it's one of them radio stations where you could write shit on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I put, I'll show you, matter of fact.
Yeah.
I put Kendrick, I'm coming for you or some shit like that. It was real, it was a real big message. I know he gonna go back over there too. That's
so when was Kendrick there?
Kendrick recently was there. It looked like he low-key came. Recently, he had an award in his hand. So, I don't know if that was the Grammy or the like Pulitzer Prize.
Yes,
I don't know what award it was. But
it's like a novel type of... It has something to do with novels and like books and that type of prize.
Yeah.
Because I looked it up. I was like, what the hell is a Pulitzer? Like,
exactly.
What the hell is this? Like, I ain't never heard of this type of award. But how the hell he get it?
Even on side of that, it's like the people that at the radio station, they're going to let that nigga know.
And oh yeah,
like, of course.
They was digging you.
They gonna let that. I didn't have to rap. What I'm saying is, we came now on the brand, on the No Brakes brand.
Got it. I saw a few pictures. So that's where that was. Y'all had no brakes on the shirts.
Yeah, we was at the Hub Radio. That,
okay.
Terry and his authors got a.
So Terry, who's Terry?
Terry Roten. He's a national bestselling author. He's the founder of the No Brakes Publishing thing.
Okay.
And No Brakes Entertainment, in which I'm a part of.
Okay, okay. So no break. So the spot where we are, actually, let's tell the people where we are.
This is No Breaks headquarters.
So No Breaks headquarters, and so people, I see like buku clothes and some books, and like they got some bags back here, like women's bags, women's clothes and stuff. So yeah. Where we're located? Tell the people where we are.
We are for 87th and Broadway in Los Angeles. To anybody in the street culture, this is the 87 Gangster Crip neighborhood. Just for people who like history, you know, not to say.
Yeah, I dig. I mean, it's LA.
You gotta be specific. LA listeners, the Louisiana listeners, everybody. Hell yeah. We over here. But, you know, come check it out. We got a lot of fly shit. And we can make you something on the spot. Like, for instance, these Lettermans.
Yeah.
Moving is a movement within LA. It's a LA movement, but the NBLA, that's No Breaks LA. But all of those patches, those were put on, like, you know.
Right.
So we can make you some shit right here.
Okay. But so do y'all do like, not bulk, but a number of pieces? So say if somebody wanted like 12 of those jackets, y'all make it happen.
And all we gotta do is get the actual jackets, mm-hmm. and then we'll bring them right in here and make it in front of you.
Dope, that's dope.
Like this was made by my DJ.
Okay, who's your DJ?
Shout out DJ Twist Kid.
DJ Twist Kid.
She from Mississippi.
Oh, it's a sister.
Yeah.
Dig.
Yeah, man. Shout out. Like, she gonna hold it down. You gonna meet up real soon.
Cause, yeah.
Because what I want you to do is, if you can.
Yeah.
Do you do just artists?
Man, like, any art form.
Any art form?
Yes. All
right, well, I want you to interview the authors and...
Yeah, hell yeah.
Terry, Mariah Hayes.
So, but I gotta peep what they did, though. So, you're gonna have to link me.
I mean, shit. We got books in here right now. You can leave them one and really study and really get... Cause I see you probably got some ammo for me right now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Since 2014, like, right. That's like some Nardwar type shit. Like, you about to ask me some shit. I'm like, I don't know that.
I was like, I wanted to come in with my CD. I forgot it in the car.
Nah, I mean, I appreciate it. So you got that shit on you?
Yes, I got like two of them
I got to get you on my Instagram, like, with that.
With that CD? Hell yes, for sure. So, Pete, how I got onto your music. So, Stacey, I'm assuming that you and Stacey are cool.
Hell yeah.
From
shout out Red Eye Jedi. You know what I'm saying? You know how we get it, man. AAA all day.
That's my loved one. So I knew him through Upper Bound. But long story short, fast forward, I needed to study for like the GRE or something like that. So I was like, he seemed like he a smart ass student. Come help me study. So we start kicking it and like we'll be running music and all that. And he ended up giving me that CD, and he knew, and this was around the time I was gonna move here. So he was like, here, take these CDs, give them to people, you know, you keep one and you give it to somebody in LA. So I don't even know if you was out here at that point. You say you've been here like 4 years, like, so that's 2014.
So
maybe you was out here at that time. But anyway, ended up taking the CD and started bumping. I was like, damn, like, this dude jam. Never knew how you look. Never knew how you looked until what, this year, like recently.
Until
like
I hit when
No, like, because I started, excuse me, I don't know how I started following you, but I found you on Instagram somehow, and I followed you, and I was like, dang, this is what this guy looked like. Like, I never, you know, saw you, but it was really cool to put a face with a name, and then I'm finally in the flesh with your ass.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah. So that's how I got on to you. How long you been rapping, though? Because I heard, like, in a song, it was, like, since you was 11?
Yeah, I it's funny, because, I really technically been creating rhymes and rhythms before that, but as far as like me definitively rapping, I banged that at 11, because at 11 is when I knew, should I drop that jewel here? Yeah, fuck it. My homie, I had a homie named D-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Donald Leonard. He did, I don't think he rapping no more. I think he's living a regular life. So shout out Donald Leonard. He was the rapper.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like I told you, I was like 10, 9.
Right.
Coming up with funny ass rhymes to just random shit around me. You know what I'm saying? Like making just random ass rhymes about shit.
Yeah.
And when he came around, he was actually rapping, and he knew how to fucking, like, grab a headphone with a mic and just put it right there and play the beat from the speaker. Like, I'm talking about the beginning of the beginning of recording.
Right.
And play the speaker, and we were rapping. It sounded like a whole song and shit. You feel me? So that's when I feel like I claim rap.
Got it.
Yeah, dang, I say 11.
Dang, that's dope. And so where were you? Where was this?
La Place. I was in my hometown.
You lived in Lafayette before?
Yeah.
So how long you lived in Lafayette?
I moved to Lafayette when I was 14. I got kicked out. I just was trying to do what the fuck I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Basically. Looking back on it, you know what I'm saying? I used to have other excuses and shit, but it is what it is. Everywhere you go, if you want to somebody shelter, you got to go by some rules. And I wasn't rocking with that, so they kicked me out. It was basically either go through some like juvenile type shit, or go to my mama. So I was like, I'll take my mama for $200. She did. Like,
so she
straight.
Was in Lafayette.
She was in Lafayette. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, dig. And then
blast to the past. I said, that's a blast to the pair.
Yeah. I hate when niggas start asking, why am I even rapping? I guess it's just creativeness I made into a passion. And to all of those who hate and used to play me, get it backwards. Don't ever get the picture, they just judge it by the caption. Because you read the text, don't mean you get all of the message. I don't have no time to play, I'm in a personal recession. My profession lets me school them while I'm taking lessons. So they better not pick their hands up unless they asking questions when I'm stressing. I wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast everything in my path? And then I laugh, because I want it all, but don't ever get to half. My pessimistic mind is the kind you should have, because every time shit happens, they start lying. Dante Harris, rest in peace, super. Check me out. Excuse me, good evening, what's your name? Yeah, that's kinda cute, but baby, you could call me Flame. I swear I'm being honest, shit, I'm never running games. So you should just roll with me and drop all them other lanes. I'm saying, you got that type of personality with you, I'd rather be. Killer body, no fatality, and plus I'm glad to see that you alone. On your own, girl, you're grown. If you depended on a nigga, I would tell you something wrong. Hope I ain't coming strong, hope I ain't running on. I'm about to slide you my device to put your number on. Not usually nice, but I'm the type you shouldn't slumber on. Girl, what you got is super hot, so get your summer on. That was a joke, cause I wanted to see you smile. And I always see you around, but I'm just getting at you now. You had me crushing, but not.
Rest in peace, Tupac. You know what I'm saying? Like, if y'all hold it down for him, hold it down for real. Don't do that fake shit. Like, if you came up on a nigga, you came up on it. Don't be faking, you hear me? Given time in the nick of time, having different minds, I just kill it with these written rhymes. The world is dark, but you still see a nigga shine. And I hold it down like when raindrops hit the ground. Shh, nah, don't make a sound, my words are like bullets. Watch me bust a couple rounds. I'm known in my town when I roam in the round. Got the throne and the crown like George Foreman's around. I'm grilling, better yet I'm chilling like a villain. Fresh off a killing, trying to keep my head up, but I'm tired of looking at the ceiling. And I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Every year I got a new group of problems that stress my mind. Sort of like a skateboarder, I'm just trying to perfect my grind. That's why I'm showing new improvement after each and every line. Getting hard to smile and I'm wondering why. Cause these niggas that say they down, but I'm knowing they lie. I know we in hell, so does that mean that my destiny is heaven or jail? Does my music have to be fake for my records to sell? Sometimes I need to see the truth because I'm tired of braille. And do you know my father? Because I know your son. You know the one that died upon the cross? Yeah, the chosen one. Never hesitate to call your name because I know you come. Got a grudge against enemies, forgive them while I'm holding one. Hope it ain't a sin to stay under the influence. I ain't never sold crack, but I'm smart enough to do it. Let me rephrase that, I'm struggling hard enough to do it. But fuck it, I wanna muse it. I'll try living off this music. And real rap is ruthless, so ain't nobody stopping me. All my people watching me, so tip top shape I gotta be. Labels ain't worried about shit but Monopoly, so I ain't trying to get signed yet, just trying to profit me.
LaPlace to Lafayette, and then after Lafayette, where you ended up?
Let me dig and see if I ended up somewhere prior to that. Nah, actually, it was straight from Lafayette to Hollywood.
Okay,
yeah, we just left everything and was like, fuck it.
So who is we? So that's what I wanted to ask. So we're going to jump into Hollywood and your journey here. Who, you came by yourself or it was you and...
Nah, rest in peace, Juwan Khalil Bryant. He kind of reconned Hollywood for us. He came out here first.
Okay.
Met some people, let us know what it really was and how it works and shit like that. After that, he just really wanted us to come back with him when he was talking about going back. We wound up making it happen and it was crazy because... As you know, I'm pretty sure you know, how long you was at UL for a while?
For a minute. 5 years.
Motherfuckers be like, I'm going to go to L.A., I'm going to go to Cali, I'm going to go, you know, people from 7, 6, 7, 8 years ago that's been saying they're going to come to Cali, I ain't seen them out here yet, you know what I'm saying? Not to talk down on them, but that's just what it is. Like,
exactly. People, it's a fact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we had to kind of get some people out of that loop and that mind state and really break them out like, bro, like, it's a whole fucking world out here. Like, Lafayette is not the only place on the planet, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly, yeah.
So we were supposed to leave at a certain time, like I think like it was on a certain day or something like that, and niggas was lacking like a few, like two was lacking. Shout out D-Lo, I'm gonna get on your ass on this interview.
Get in there.
What you call him? He had to get a lot of shit situated. He wanted to take it the real legal route, which is needed because he was the one with the vehicle and shit.
Got it.
Feel me? I had a truck, but it was like I had just got out of jail.
So that's the red truck?
Yeah, that's the red truck. Okay. That's Dakota, my baby. You know, she left me, but it was really for my family.
Yeah.
My family folk. But anyway, I kind of left her to just venture out and do my thing. And plus, I knew I didn't have insurance. I was riding dirty in the motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what
there,
I'm saying?
Out there.
Man, what?
Yeah. Even out here, you could get away with it. But out there, you really could get away with it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I really just played it smart.
Yeah.
I left it to some Wadi house or something like that and, you know, made it happen like that. But he had to get all his legal shit together and we finally left like a week after that or something. It was just delay after delay after delay after delay.
Right.
Then we left. We never turned back. We left. Man, I remember I ain't had shit but a Reese's Puff box. And, like, we really didn't have shit. Like,
so,
my partner. So
just y'all two?
Nah. It's one I'm leaving out. It's me, Juwan Khalil Bryant, rest in peace. D-Lo. Y'all gonna meet him. Lonnie G at the time. Back then. Or El Caso at the time. He changed his rap name a few times. And Supreme.
Okay.
Brother Supreme. Now he took it upon himself. I was locked up at the time, and I was. It was something that happened on Jefferson Boulevard where the cops. It was some wrong shit. But
you was doing wrong.
Hell no.
The day was wrong.
I was recording a wrongdoing, and they tried to. You know how police do. They try to block the barricade
on
off.
Good Samaritan type shit.
Yeah. I was just recording because I noticed him from the. I stayed in Holy Family at the time. So I noticed him from the project, dude, like, and I just started recording what was going on, just saying I was going to tell him I'll show up to court with this as proof and this, that, and
so third. It was like you was recording
I was recording the police.
Doing this to somebody
fucking
else.
With somebody, and they barricaded us and moved us to the side, and they wound up taking us all down to the ground. I went to jail. Most of them didn't have records and shit, but I'm on probation and some motion at this time.
Right.
So,
how old are you, by the way?
I'm 24.
So 24. So at that time, like, you was what, like 17, 18?
Nah, I was 17. I was probably like, 18.
18?
Something
okay.
Like that. But, damn, actually, yeah. 18, 19, damn. Threw us to the ground and shit. I wound up being the one, of course, stayed in there. Mm-hmm. Everybody else got to sort of high work in Lafayette or Paris.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to jail for the first time, if it ain't nothing that serious, they slap on the wrist and they give you this little paper to show up to court or some shit. They let you leave. They wasn't rocking with that for me.
It right.
was like, nah, nigga, you gotta
What the hell was you doing, like, in your past? Like, what was this?
It just was... I had a juvenile record that supposedly gets expunged, turn 18 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's bullshit. Because they could still look up that.
I mean, your record is your record. It don't go
exactly,
nowhere.
Exactly.
Even if it's expunged, it's gonna still see it regardless. Yeah.
Dan wound up bailing me out. Dan is a real, like, a real soulful, real, like, yeah. nobody really keep it realer than that nigga. Like,
right.
That's what he like.
So he's one of the ones that moved here, too?
Supreme.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
My
Supreme.
Bad.
I'm like, who the hell is Dan? Yeah, like, we didn't talk about him.
Dan the Supreme, yo.
Okay.
He had already was working for a little while, and he had saved us his bread. He had his own little spot at the time. He had his, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he was able to do that and just go out of his way and help me with that. So,
peace and love to him.
Man, peace and love to him, because this shit has been skyrocketing since.
Yeah. You know?
Like, and he was also the one that stayed after we left. We went 4 deep. Basically, it's like one by one we start getting taken out of cap. Like, God was like, nah, y'all niggas not ready yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I let y'all get this far to see it.
Yeah.
But y'all niggas not ready.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Me and Juan got into it. Rest in peace with my brother.
So tell me, because you're saying rest in peace. So what happened with Juan?
He was the one who gave us the idea to come to Hollywood in the first place.
Right. So he was from?
He's from Houston originally.
He was from Houston,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he was from Houston originally. And I met him in Lafayette with Sleek and everybody. And, when we first touched down in Hollywood, we was partying like a motherfucker.
Right.
Like, Cali turned us the fuck out.
Yeah.
Period.
You feel me? Yeah. Well, you went straight to Hollywood.
I mean, yeah. It's,
we was in
North Hollywood too.
Damn.
Which is
so
like,
that's really like the
college area. The AI's right there.
I felt like North Hollywood was like, it was like not slum, but like.
Yeah, it kind of is. Because how long have you been out here?
I've been out here since 2015. But I know, like, the areas.
Yeah, North Hollywood is the hood that they just rebuilt shit on top of to make it not look like the hood.
North Hollywood is pretty much almost damn near like the valley, right?
Yeah, like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. It got valley weather and all that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But so we went to this one party and of course we all off the fucking liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Yeah.
And Juan and D-Lo getting into it back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I was way more of a hard head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm hearing these niggas go back. Like, they're really arguing, like,
yeah,
talking back and forth the whole way from the party to the fucking car. We was living out the car. Like, we didn't have shit.
Right, I wanted to talk about that, too.
So, all the way to the car, they blabbing like, man, well, nigga, you did it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then eventually it got to the point where I just was like telling them, like, man, y'all knock it up, bro. Y'all like, about to fight this, that, and the third. And then I think Juan stepped up. I forgot how it happened. But I think somebody said some shit to where I got into it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like, I ain't gonna argue, nigga. Like, what's up? You feel me? Like, so me and Juan start getting into it. You know, we got into a little scuffle. And something happened to where he hit the ground and he broke his leg. So he was the first one to be taken out, like,
right. So he had to go back home.
From that happening, he went back to Houston and with his mom and went to the hospital and got all this shit checked out. So cool.
Yeah,
I was the second one to get taken out.
Right, it was time for your ass to go. You sent Juan back.
I mean, yeah, but it was really like legalities. Like I had all kind of. I ain't used to rap about it at that time, but
yeah.
I had all kind of like shit that was lingering.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I had a gun charge. I got caught with a gun and like 2 ounces of weed or some shit like that.
Yeah,
no. Two halves a week. But and I wound up getting the court date.
Mm-hmm.
And so my people sent me a train to come back because they didn't want me to just be running from it. You know
hell
what I'm saying?
So they
let me handle it in the court, and I wound up staying in Lafayette for like a year or something after that.
So 14, you came here.
Yeah.
Then you end up going back.
Yeah, no, I think that was probably 13.
Oh, 13, you came.
We popped
out.
I was out here for like a month.
Dang.
The first time we was out here, Hollywood, North Hollywood, a month, maybe, if that. I don't think it was a full 30 days.
Dang.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Then you got Lonnie and Dan still out there. You got Supreme and, Supreme and D-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what they known as.
Yeah.
You got them out there, and Supreme signs up for Sochi, Southern California Health Institute.
Oh, okay.
And Lonnie, what happened with him? He, he left for some. He didn't fuck with it. He didn't like the energy of California after a while.
Okay.
Because as you know, Cali will turn you out if you're not a strong-minded individual.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, and like I was telling you before, it's like you choose your environment in California, in L.A.
Exactly.
I don't know about anywhere else in California, but in L.A., you choose what you want to be around. Like, exactly. If you want to be around real soulful people, you're going to go be around soulful people. But if you live in Hollywood, then you're going to be around Hollywood people.
Exactly.
And Hollywood things and shit and,
bullshit. It is what it is, you know.
I mean, not knocking Hollywood because people live by it. People love that.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, takes a certain type of person.
Exactly, yeah. That's why I was, like, I was with all the smoke. I don't even give a fuck. I'm like, you feel me? All that negative shit, I wound up. Because I used to fight it with negativity.
Yeah.
And now when I go to Hollywood, it's like I just look at that shit like so peonish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was able to do it like that because I really didn't have shit.
Exactly.
So it's like a nigga coming at me, what's that?
Right.
You feel me? Like, you ain't got nothing to lose. You feel me? Like, what's good? Like, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, they wound up, so they left Dan out there and D-Lo was real enough to leave him the car.
Okay.
The car that we drove out there and to live out of, and he just went do his thing. I think he went back home for a bit, stacked his money, and then he moved to Denver.
Okay.
Feel me? So upon the re-entry of Cali, D-Lo and Juan was hanging out a whole lot, and I was where was I at? I think I had already came back. I had already came back. Mm-hmm. I came back and I linked back up with Dan.
Got it.
That's
okay.
What happened. You feel me?
I
came back and I linked up with him. And I'm talking to them on the phone like, yo, bro, y'all get y'all ass out here. We about to, you know, reunite or whatever.
Yeah. Got it. So y'all back out here. Y'all living in the car again?
Nah.
Okay, I got to spot this sound.
This is when you hear what happened to Juan.
Okay, go ahead.
He was going through with some females. This and the third. He, one female that he was living with and they had their little relationship or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sneaky shit start popping up. You know how that shit goes.
Yeah.
The sneaky shit start popping up.
Yeah.
And I guess she fully attached to whoever the side nigga was.
Oh, dang, it was that type of thing?
And start pushing it to he was going to be, like, the main.
Mm-hmm.
And Juan wasn't having that. So mm-hmm. It wound up getting super serious. And then he ran to his other little female that we know about. And, something happened with her too, and because she was upset, she even called me talking crazy, like you better get your boy. I'm gonna call some people for him, and, like negative, all kind of negative shit.
Mm-hmm.
And she told him she didn't want to come with him to California. So this is when he started finding God. This is a nigga that had trouble with his family and shit. Like he don't really got a relationship with his dad like that. He ain't really got a relationship with his mom like that.
Right.
So. After he found God, he got a Bible and all this, and the third, he drove to Houston, linked back up with his mom. No, he linked back up with his mom, and his mom gave him a Bible.
Okay.
And really helped him study the God thing more. And last conversation I ever had with him, he was talking about linking up. He wanted to be our publishers and shit like that.
Yeah.
And last thing I ever told that nigga was, call me when you get to Arizona. Yeah, I never got that call. The cops said basically they seen they looked at the autopsy and it looked as if he got out the car and was stretching and got hit by 18 wheeler. So yeah, but I ain't believe that shit. Like,
you don't believe it?
Fuck nah. Like the person who called, it's funny because shout out Spotlight. The person who called me had issues with him in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking he was like joking or some shit like that. I told him now, I said, bro, don't joke like that.
Right.
I'm not worried about it. I'm not a side picker. Really,
right.
I'm not going on. That's on y'all. I'm
gonna
fuck.
Yeah, don't put me in a
good you feel me? So he was like, nah, bro, I'm serious. You feel me? His female that called me around that time. The other one was calling me and telling me that happened. His actual mom had to call me for me to believe that shit.
Wow.
And even after she told me, I still had doubts.
Right.
But it didn't feel like he was gone. It was weird.
Yeah, especially if you haven't been around that person for some time and you was here, he was there, right?
Yeah.
So.
And he was one of the motherfuckers that introduced me to the universe and all that shit.
Yeah.
Like I was a real introvert. Like I ain't used to open up at all.
Yeah.
And they showed me that, you know, I don't gotta be like that. And,
right.
And the energy that you put out there, they basically were saying if you go around walking around like fuck everybody, and I ain't trying to fuck with nobody. That's what's gonna happen.
What you gonna get? Yeah. Gonna get. So that's a fact, man. Yeah. It don't take rocket science to know that, though. Yeah, it don't take much to know that. Okay, so you back here. So you say you're not living out of the car no more. So y'all living in the spot right now at this point once y'all back.
Yeah.
So y'all got a spot.
Oh, you talking about when I came the second time?
Yeah.
Not exactly. So the second time,
you still homeless at this point.
Second time we came back, the car is still there, but the car is very not attended to. You know, when the car was there the first time, Lonnie really take care of his shit. Like, yeah, he'll clean it up, mm-hmm, and this at the third, pay the insurance, all this at the third.
Right.
Come back the second time, the car been parked for like in the same spot for like years. Like, not what to say
car,
years.
What was
but, like,
this car parked?
Literally on Clump. Shout out Clump. Shout out to the North Hollywood locals.
They didn't have buku tickets on it. Like, it didn't have a boot
on it. The nigga finessed it because we found out that technically, legally, if you move it at all, from like basically if it's right here and you do like that, legally they can't tow it for that 24 hours. You know what I'm saying? Because he had a regular parking spot. He wasn't in the red. It wasn't in no type of shit. He wasn't in nobody.
Well, what about like street sweeping?
Man, he got through all that shit for like a year and a half. That's what I'm saying. That shit survived all that shit. It didn't get told fully until I came out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't tripping on no living out the car shit because basically people don't realize that where we from in Louisiana, well, specifically Lafayette, I'm from the Plaza and all that shit, but I mean, like, we talking to everybody in Lafayette right now. It's slow as fuck compared to like a big city.
Exactly.
So living homeless in fucking LA,
right,
is like having somewhere to stay at in fucking Lafayette.
Oh, okay.
Dig what I'm saying? Like, just cause speed wise, because right, it's like you getting 725. You're getting 725, and most of the shit is like, damn, there's 700 a month, this, exactly, and the third, 600 a month, this, and the
out there in Lafayette, he talking about y'all.
Exactly.
Not so out
you,
here.
So fuck no. Never that out here. Never in not California. Out here.
Look, I had an apartment by UL for $525.
Yeah?
Yes, before I moved here.
I
would try
to know you
spot
out there. I'd have been going, trying to go half with you and some more shit, cook for you and all that. Because I was never known, like, you know, I wasn't no poop programming like that.
Yeah.
It's just, I never gave a fuck about all that extra shit because I saw the expenses that came with it.
Right, yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Like the utility, yeah, of this, that, and the third, all this, that, and the third. And I looked at it like, my nigga, I'm a trap nigga anyway.
Right,
like,
right.
All I do is bend the block and do my thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would I?
Exactly.
You feel me? Even now, like, I do my thing and put money into some shit, but it's like, I don't even be over there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
so you would be at work all the time, a
little studio spot in Hollywood with a few roommates and shit, but it's like, I don't even be out there. I'll pop up and break somebody off.
Right.
I just do that for like on the weekend if I want to be out there in Hollywood and yeah. have fun, have some fun in Hollywood. I got yeah. somewhere to have a domain at, go right. stop, duck off from the laws yeah. or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
So yeah, I wanted to talk about the homelessness because I hear mm-hmm. that a lot in your tunes. Like you talk about living out there. And then you talked about on one track, I heard like y'all was living in a Honda. Was that the Honda is yeah, what you're talking about?
That's the Honda.
Okay, so the Honda is what you're talking about. Okay, yeah. Cool.
That's definitely cool, the Honda. Cool.
AA, what is that? Double A, what does that mean?
It means various things. As you can see, if I ever lie to a cop, and not even lie to him, if I ever tell the truth to a cop and be like, I'm from Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
and I got a shirt like this on,
yeah.
they'd be like, well, why do you have the Angels on your shirt? I'm like, motherfucker,
oh,
I might be an angel. Yeah, this is the Los Angeles Angels. Ironically, I got this tattoo right before I came out here for good.
Hmm. You knew? So it was it any type of correlation? Or
I was a fan of the Danny Glover movie.
Okay.
Angels in the Outfield.
Never saw it.
Never saw it? You no, crazy.
I'm not a movie type
You're not
person.
A movie type? What the
I
fuck?
I told you that when you was telling me we was talking about the Black Panther. You know, I don't do movies.
I thought you meant recently. Like I don't shit, do movies What at do all. You do?
Music.
So you strictly do you listen to music, you don't watch TV, nothing.
No, I'll watch, like I got Hulu, so like if I wanna like actually see
you want
something.
Them incense females, huh?
I like incense. I like incense, but I don't get energy from rocks though.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Hey, it's different types. You got the crystals, you got the incense, you got the head wraps, you got the, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
Yeah. And my head wrap that I would, that don't have no significance to nothing but bad hair days.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. But that's your crown chakra. So, really, it's either protecting it or compressing it from exuding to somebody who ain't right. You know what I'm saying? Which is the same thing as protecting. But technically, it might not be. Because you might just perceive that it ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what I'm saying? It could be right. Anyway. Mainly, it's affirmative action.
Okay.
And affirmative action represents, it correlates to the government movement of affirmative action,
okay.
which is a movement of disbanding races. Basically, it's a movement like, let's say you're Latina,
mm-hmm.
and you want to get this job over here, this Roscoe's is all black.
Right,
you
right.
You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
And you
feel
like...
You think they would get it, but yeah.
Exactly. You feel like they didn't hire you because right. you're not black.
Right.
You could go through the affirmative action and they'll basically take action on getting you that job because of the discrimination thing.
Okay,
so
yeah,
So it's
yeah.
really like a, you know, it's really like a no, we don't see no colors type thing. But the reason we created it is, and when I say we... me and Supreme.
Okay.
Me and Supreme is the...
That's Dan, in other words.
Yeah. Me and Supreme is the complete ideology of the movement and the clique.
Yeah.
And it really just means just taking affirmative action, going for what you believe in, as you can see.
Got
like,
it.
We wouldn't be here.
Yeah, man, that takes a lot. Like, into, like, living on the streets and stuff like that.
Correct.
Like, that, I mean, that says how much you really want to be in a particular place,
exactly.
and you want a particular thing to like give it your all and be like, I ain't got nothing to lose, so
exactly.
you might as well be here where it is where this is where I need to be.
Yeah, and I was a different breed too, because it's like I didn't care about the shit motherfuckers cared about.
Right,
like, nigga wanted to have this down the third.
Yeah, you don't care about
a
roof over
spot.
Your head.
I wasn't. I even say I just didn't care about a roof. Not even just say I didn't care about a roof over my head. Like people. Like when you think about the reasons some people get that.
Right.
Like of course, now that I'm straight, I see like, okay, that helps your mental and of course somewhere to be at. But I was taking showers in the gym and shit. The shit that I needed, I had.
Yeah.
You feel
yeah.
me? I wasn't tripping, but I was a nigga that I'm trapping 24/7. Like every
right.
moment and essence of my body, I was trying to get some money and do my thing.
Right.
So it was like why would I, you know? And then thinking about budgeting and shit like that, I was like, well, I would be trapping just to be in a spot, just to be in there.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? That makes sense. Sounds like you adapt to whatever life really bring you.
Exactly, yeah. I'm that type of person.
So that's really like survival of the fittest.
For real, for real.
Yeah, so I dig that. I mean, I try to adapt in different places, but... Yeah.
I mean now, especially for you, I mean, you're a female. You seem to keep yourself up a lot. You're beautiful, all that. So
thank you. I appreciate
you. You got a standard. To, you feel me? I'm talking about the Jesus days. This is when I was looking like a caveman and shit. Like, shaving.
Yeah.
I would get my shit retwisted. Mm. I didn't, you know, I really didn't care about shit else.
Right.
But this music, and now that I learned, you know, I'm thinking it was still talent and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I learned that shit, 10% talent and 90% business.
I saw you posted that somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember where, but I really banged that because I need people to know that. You feel me? Because a lot of people just think, like, you're going to just jump in this bitch and be the hottest rapper alive.
Right.
Or somebody's going to magically hear you.
Nah. It takes some work.
You did.
Networking, like, number one.
Exactly. And being in the right place. Sometimes it's just showing up.
Yes.
Sometimes it's
just
showing
up. Man, give
me
some.
Sometimes it's just showing
That's
up.
That's a fact.
You just got to be there. Like the first person we rapped for when we came out here was Corrupt.
Okay,
I pulled up at a Wiz concert.
Okay.
I'm looking for Wiz. I was headhunting Wiz. Like, what's up? Like, I was thinking I was going to rap for Wiz, get signed to Wiz, which is funny because now...
So you bought that. Like, you just bought, like, standing on site.
Yeah.
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 You got to be.
Of course. Yeah. I know you just hinted something, but we're going to leave that alone. I pulled up and I looked down. And I saw Corrupt.
Mm.
Now, these niggas, they knew of Corrupt, like, legacy-wise.
Yeah.
But I really study. When I hear about a rapper, I study what they look like, what their videos is, what they, you feel me? So if I ever see these niggas, it's like, okay, that's that guy.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So I look down, I say, hey, big homie, man. He looked up. I say, man, come freestyle with your little niggas.
Yeah.
He said, come on down. You feel me? We go down there, and we in the space and shit, and I start running into him about a song he did with Schoolboy Q.
Okay.
And I said, shout out to all my LA people that know about the street culture and shit. This was around the time I was on YouTube and shit and really didn't know much.
Mm-hmm.
I knew about Schoolboy being from Five Dudes Hoover.
Yeah.
And I knew about the enemies being the 6-0s.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people don't know as far as that yet. Go look up Corrupt. Too. Eric, all y'all motherfuckers in Louisiana and Lafayette, go look up Corrupt. He's one of the best rappers alive.
Yeah.
And
I gotta dig on Corrupt.
Eminem put him right above him. On the list of the top 10 dead or alive, Eminem puts Corrupt.
What's a Corrupt track? What's the track
will
catch you? Like,
anybody. What would you do?
What would you do?
With Daz.
With Daz, okay.
Yeah. That was super.
I saw Daz and Corrupt. What's Corrupt on there? I don't know if Corrupt was on there, but you ever watched Noriega podcast? Drink Champs?
Yeah.
That's my shit.
Yeah,
man.
You fuck with that?
Hey, that's what got me started podcasting.
Because
I was
lying.
Like, man, if Nori them could sit around and be they self and just shit.
You don't have
talk
no drinking
shit.
Game?
Huh?
You don't have no drinking
no,
game?
No, I don't drink.
Oh my God.
I do like wine, but I can't, you can't do no Drink Champ shit.
Man, that's why I say if that inspires you to do this shit,
it inspired me in a manner to where it wasn't like these high levels of professionalism.
They just was making it happen.
Yeah, we could just pop up at the bookstore / clothing store and just run it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and exactly. So that part of it was the part that inspired me. I was like, shit, Nori could do it. I could do it too.
Yeah, straight up.
That's
say that to say it's so funny because my favorite episode outside of the 2 Chainz one.
Yeah.
Is Currency.
On Drink Champ?
Yeah, because Currency is a real, speaking of, I forgot to mention that, y'all. My bad. I'm sorry. After rapping at 11, at 11 years old, I didn't take rap serious.
Okay, I mean,
I was just rapping just to rap, you feel me? But Currency the Hospital made me take rap serious at the age of 14. That's when I knew that's what I wanted to do.
You're the second person on the podcast that said Currency was like, yeah.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, this is probably why. This is my reason. I don't know. I don't know about the other person. I'm from New Orleans originally. That's the past. The past is less than New Orleans area. All my first favorite rappers was from New Orleans.
Okay.
And we know what the New Orleans subject matter is. You
what
know
is
what I'm
it?
Saying? trapping, bust a nigga brain, fuck these bitches,
right.
Do this, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's what the New Order subject matter is.
Right.
And Currency brought a different spin to it.
He
started off talking like crazy in there, but once he got into his own skin and his own vibe, he started like
on his own style.
I didn't know you could do that.
Right.
All I knew was gangster rap. I didn't know you could rap about just regular shit. Like,
right.
You know,
like storytelling and shit.
Slide kicks and shit like that. Like, you know, I had no idea. And
right.
He made me research hip hop. And then from then on, I was born.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I looked up A Tribe Called Quest first.
Yeah.
That was the first group. And from then on, you basically could look up A Tribe Called Quest and find any hip hop group that you ever want to find.
Yeah, pretty sure. They're a major influence.
Exactly.
You know, Ali, he be out here.
Ali Shaheed, mama.
Yep,
he likes my music.
I
met him in North Hollywood, and I sent him. I emailed him.
That's where he. I'm pretty sure that's where they live.
He stayed right there by North Hollywood last time I checked.
Yeah,
because he popped out like 2-3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I looked. That was the first time I met him.
Mm-hmm.
I looked. Says that Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
Yeah.
He said, "Yeah, man, in the flesh, some shit like that." You know what I'm saying? And I was like,
"I haven't met him yet, but I'm gonna meet him though."
I was like, "What the fuck are you doing out here?" Like, yo, I said, "You bro, it's like 3 in the morning. So I live out here." Like,
yeah.
You feel me? Da da da. This and
I want to say him and Raphael Sadiq live together because Raphael live out there, and you know Blakeslee Studios is in North Hollywood.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, right there. That's that big gate shit.
Yes,
that's what that
big
is.
Green sit on the corner.
Blocked off. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what that is?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
That's the Raphael Sadiq studio.
That makes way more sense.
Yeah.
That makes way more sense.
But yeah, you know, they affiliated with Adrian Young. I don't know if you're familiar with who Adrian Young is. He's a producer.
Uh-uh.
But they all affiliated. But Adrian Young got a studio. Like, it's like a bookstore, record store, / hair salon. Yeah, it's kind of like this.
Yeah.
Without the records. Y'all just don't have the records.
I mean,
but,
you know, that's in me.
Yeah.
You got to holler at me for those.
Yeah,
dig. You know?
But so Ali, you know, they all, Ali and Adrian Young, they do a lot of work together. So they always in the studio together. But Linear Lab, shout out Linear Lab, shout out Art Form Studio in Highland Park. Yeah,
yep,
I did.
Shout
look,
out.
I'm always around there. So I met Raphael Sadiq this past weekend.
Yeah.
I met Adrian Young. Like, they, like, so, like, they treat you like family.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, and that's the type of stuff, like, that's the type of environment that I like to be in. But yeah, I haven't ran into Ali yet. But I'm pretty sure it'll happen pretty soon.
Basically, it works like a domino effect, right? Q-Tip is a producer also for other people.
Yeah.
He made One Love on Illmatic. Studied Illmatic to the death.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got, once you study Illmatic, you become a Nas fan. Then from Nas jumped on countless other people's songs.
Mm-hmm.
I knew about the Wu-Tang.
Okay.
I knew about Fat Joe and fucking rest in peace. What is his name?
Affiliated with Fat Joe.
Yeah,
Big
he was
Pun.
Fat, there we go, Big Pun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there we go. I don't know why I couldn't think of that right now, but
it's all good.
Yeah, Big Pun. Like, it was a trigger effect. Like, once I look up A Tribe Called Quest, everything else just fell in order.
That's all you need.
For real.
That's, I mean, because they got a lot of influence in their music, not even rap, you know, even going back to like jazz and like and soul music and stuff. Like, their music is like completely in. Yeah, I could go on and on.
Leaders of the new school, like,
so that's the perfect place to start.
Take affirmative action, do it.
It
also represents the action armada, which would be a synonym as in the sense of like the NOI and the FOI.
N-O-R-F-O-R.
Yeah, the Nation of Islam and the Fruits of Islam.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The Nation of Islam is the actual nation. Mm-hmm. The Fruits of Islam is the actual individuals within the nation.
Okay.
And some would define it as the army of it. So it's the same thing, like affirmative action,
yeah.
Action Armada.
Okay.
They both the same faction, but it's like, you know. And
just
then,
two different ways of putting it, pretty
exactly.
much.
Exactly. So you got then you got astronomical accuracy,
mm-hmm.
which represents like the stars and how we align with signs and this, that, and the third. Life answers, I'm blessed to be here.
Cancer. And I like a woman that loves everything and everybody. And you know what, ladies? If you feel that this is you, then this is what I want you to do.
Okay. So you really into like astrology and stuff?
I wouldn't say like super in, like I don't push it on people, but let's just say I did a lot of sitting down and
like you're knowledgeable about it.
Yeah, JL will show you that shit is real. Put it like this, you mean random motherfuckers, right?
Mm-hmm.
People don't just randomly just tell you their birthday, shit like that. So when you over here in the back of your head, you're thinking like, this nigga kind of remind me of me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you find out that nigga birthday is the day before yours.
Right.
It's not a coincidence. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, shit. And I only mention jail because that's when you at your most minuscule. You don't
right.
have shit. You got
exactly.
you got what these motherfuckers giving to you.
Right.
Basically, what you got in there is your nuts and your word.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
I mean, what you, that belong to you.
Exactly.
Everything else is fucking county clothes,
right?
County Mac, county this, county that.
Yeah.
Right? So,
so what's the longest amount of time you spent in jail?
Straight through.
Yep.
Probably 50 days.
50 days. So that's what, like, almost 2 months.
Yeah, 50 mm-hmm. days. Cause they got me on a alleged sales charge. How Cali works is they just leave you in the system and you just be floating around that motherfucker until you mm-hmm. can fight your way out of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the sunken place. You know
Damn.
What I'm saying? For real, for real. It's really dead ass.
So this was actually recently, like last year?
Yeah.
That you was in jail?
Yeah, probably last year. Probably a year and a half ago, man. Even I stretch it as far as probably 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's flying.
Yeah.
Time is flying. But it's getting better. It's getting way, way better.
As far as
just everything,
like your life in general and your career and all that, that's what I'm up.
Yeah, career for sure. My life in general, where music is headed, mm-hmm. Love life.
Music right now is like off the freaking chart.
Yeah, because I love it because you got little kids in Uganda listening to fucking Spotify now.
Yeah.
You got kids in third world countries who don't got shit.
Right.
That have a fucking MP3 or a laptop that just so happens to catch something.
Right.
That fucking they able to go on Spotify. Now they able to listen to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why shit is going viral. And it's crazy because, like, I start noticing my, when I notice my demographic changing, strictly on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, motherfuckers jamming my shit in the fucking Philippines.
Right, yeah, man.
Czech Republic, like, countries I've never heard of.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what it showed me. Like, how the fuck they find little old me?
Right, yeah. You'd be surprised, like, man. Like, people sharing and then listening and then all that. Yeah, I mean, you'd definitely be surprised. As far as your music, though, like, to get, like, into your music, when I hear your music, it's, like, really true to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really true to, like, who you are, and it's, like, not necessarily, like, talking about, oh, yeah, this car, that car, this house, that house, like, this, you know, these females. It's really, like, the struggle. like, your music is, like the struggle or what the things that you're going through. So I could appreciate that in music. And then you just throw your style into it, and it's like, dang, like, this jam.
Yeah, like, I appreciate that, bro. Because it's crazy. I don't know. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to out here that said they heard me in 2014.
Yeah?
Deadass. I can't tell you that many people that.
But see, I'm not from here though, so.
That's what I mean. I try to tell people that. I'm like, bro, my demographic is like Louisiana.
Yes.
Like, I'm fresh out here.
Yes.
Like I've been out here for a while now, but when I first was explaining it to people, I was like, yeah, like, I got people that listen to me and shit like that, like, and laughing in the class in New Orleans, and you know what I'm saying? But it's like, my shit ain't cracking out here like how it should be.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, that's the same with the podcast. Like, the people that's going to hear this, they from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Like, they from where we from. So, but yeah, I mean, that's why I say it's really important to continue to network and meet people. And like you said, show up. Like, that's really important.
Definitely.
Well, actually, I want to go back to Alpha because that was like your primary thing, and that's the one that I heard when I was put on to you.
Yeah.
And that jam, one of my favorite jams, you know, on the album, it was number 7, is Smile.
You're talking about Simile.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it probably got spelled wrong. depending on what you heard it on.
Got the CD. Like, I got the thing.
Did and I put it?
It looks like it says smile, yeah. Unless I'm tripping, like I'm my dyslexia.
We're gonna check after the interview.
Yes, we gonna grab the little
I was giving, she was crying, he was lying, we was dying. Love's the meaning, please define it. He didn't find it, she didn't find it. Wanted her, cause she's the finest. Wanted him, cause he reminded her of someone big, honest. She was trying.
Like that instrumental for one.
Yeah.
Like he played a piano, a keyboard. He did the keyboard on that.
Yeah, he made that all off of songs. That wasn't even one of his samples. That was low key. I think before he really got heavy with sampling. Like I said, Sleek like 2 years younger than me. So
damn.
I was 17 at the time, and he was like 15 at the time when he made that.
Jeez.
Yeah, so we put the album out when I was 19. So.
And so you say it was just sound. So he was on a, like, he had software, or he was actually playing the keys.
I think he had software, but he had keys as well.
Okay. Like
he incorporated the box, like a MIDI. We just sold one, but it looked kind of like that,
mm-hmm.
like a little box, like type the, shit with a little pads on it. And
oh, like the MPC.
Yeah, like an MPC. I don't make beats, so you gotta forgive me for not knowing that.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, I wanna give you one of them.
You make beats?
Yeah, I wanna start doing it. I love that bass line in that song. Like, if you got I'm pretty sure he didn't play the bass line, but if you get somebody to run that bass line, that shit gonna be dope.
That's what I'm waiting for, cause I wanna be able to incorporate bands and
live mute bands.
And I got so much music, it's like I could get a band and literally run a set.
Exactly. Yes, like you for sure guys, you gonna win cause people love live music.
Exactly.
Love live music. And then, like, I was watching your videos, and one of the videos, I think, like, they was playing your song, but you was rapping over it, and I was like, man, like, you gotta cut the words out, like, let them just rap.
Exactly. That was another problem I had, because two reasons. Money for engineers,
mm-hmm.
And I, at first, wanted it to be strictly rock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm guessing everyone is to blame. Not to just knock off people that don't like cursing and shit like that,
mm-hmm.
But I knew that's what I did. And if you could hear it in that song, I don't really curse like that. See, it made a switch. Like I curse a lot when I talk.
Mm-hmm.
So my music didn't have a lot of cursing like that, because it was all lyrics.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Then it wound up switching. Like, I wound up not cursing that much talking,
mm-hmm.
But my lyrics got more vulgar just because of the sense that I wanted to represent emotion.
Yeah.
Like, even on a song I got called Killer,
mm-hmm.
It's about an ex of mine. And
Which project that's on?
That's on Double A.
Double A?
Yeah, that's on Double A. And that's why I said it like that. Like, people probably think I was just trying to be an asshole or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I said it in the sense of, like, I wanted to show the love and I wanted to show the disdain and hurt and anger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I started it off with, "You the only bitch I gave a fuck about."
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
More to like say like, "Fuck you still, but I love you." You know what I'm saying? Like, but I wanted to embrace that with the words instead of instead of the delivery, so to speak.
But I could see like the other side of it too. It's like, why she gotta be a bitch?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I say that too, but it's like, I respect that, and I was raised around beautiful women and all this, that, and the third. I get it, but that's how I talk, one, and two.
So it's like no negative connotation to it? Like, how do you distinguish it?
Put it like this. My mama used to have a fucking keychain that says, "You call me a bitch like it's a bad thing."
Right.
And that's my mama.
Exactly.
And I saw that when I was like fucking 10.
Right.
You know, I was at 11. So
yeah, so that makes sense for you to. Yeah,
exactly.
I understand.
Once I saw my mama did that, it was like, and then I hear how they be talking on the phone, and it's like, "Bitch.
Yeah.
This nigga did it." You know what I'm saying? So it was like,
I had to get out of that. Like, I used to do, like, when I was in college, like, I started doing that, like, talking to my friends like that. And we would talk to each other like that. And then after a while, I was like, wait. You gotta wait.
Exactly.
Like, you know, but to each his own. But like, you know, that's your mom's culture, you know?
Exactly.
So,
and she was young. So she had me when she was like 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
So at that time, she was 27. She was your age.
Yeah, geez.
Feel me? Like 26, 27. So it was like, I say that to say, I never ever said it, like, ever really, in a sense of like, bitch, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even on some jokey shit, like, you know, when you try to holler at somebody,
right,
and you like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I never was that type of nigga, like, holler at somebody and, "Oh, what fuck you, man?"
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I never was that type of nigga.
That's
like,
good. That's good to know. That's really good. But yeah, I super dig that track, and, so you said you were so young when you wrote that. What was your environment? Was that your environment?
I embraced my understanding at an early age. That was around the time I was like really into the conspiracy theories and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, close to my depression, I started.
Yo, we got the damn airplanes in the background.
Yeah, well, it's LA.
This
we
LA,
need that.
You know.
We need
look,
that.
my very first episode, I was like, "Look, disclaimer. You might hear helicopters going. You might hear airplanes.
You might hear niggas yelling. You might hear dogs. You might hear."
Yes.
It's L.A. Like,
and
LA,
that's what I said.
Place.
It's L.A. I was like, so shit, just understand that we are
at
imperfect.
The time, like, just understand the shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was way before any serious relationship I ever had.
Right.
So I tried to understand from both sides how somebody could fuck over somebody and just be lying and playing and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it the brother side in the first verse. No, I gave it on the woman's side in the first verse, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the good woman, and she's doing nothing but like cater to a man, to this, that, and the third.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody taking that kindness for granted. So,
right,
like I mentioned in it, you know, I explained the type of woman she was. She stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
She go work out.
Mm-hmm.
You feel?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she left something at home, like her purse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know how that go. You know,
yeah.
She probably went to work out, and halfway there, turned around, came home.
Cold
game. And the second one was more like, the type of relationship that come like in a trap situation. Where the nigga had keys and this, that, and the third, and he was trapping, and he really loved a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't know that she's like a Jezebel, one of them type of woman that's just there just because.
Promiscuous.
Yeah, very promiscuous, and came to the point where she took his kindness. It was really just about taking kindness for granted. That was the simile.
Yes.
Taking someone's kindness for granted.
Yeah.
And, he got all the bricks, he got the bread. Type of nigga that'll cash you, I'll bring you to the mall, this, that, and the third. And she took that for granted. She fucking other people, this, that, and the third. She fucking around, slipped up, got pregnant for a nigga. and she know that it wasn't her nigga.
Yeah.
But she just didn't tell him because it's like he provided all the bread, he provided
right.
all this, that, and
the yeah.
third.
Yeah.
So she just said it was his, you know. So
yeah.
I just wanted people to understand that this shit happens.
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily niggas is dogs.
Right.
Women are dogs. Is some people are fucked up.
Right.
Niggas
yeah.
is what it is. That's why the last segue. I'm guessing every nigga's the same. I'm guessing every woman's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, I'm guessing everyone is the same.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Which
really isn't true. But
right.
it's like, it makes you think and look
exactly.
at it like, you know.
Everybody so, is capable of doing
yeah, anybody
whatever.
Capable
yeah.
to fuck you over. Like,
yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. No respect of a man. Okay. So, but yeah, like, I dig that album. That's the Alpha album. That's the very first album.
Yeah, did you catch the acronym?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't?
I want
you to go back.
It to me.
I want you to go back and listen to it, but the acronym for Alpha is A Life Put Here Accidentally. And I say that to say when my mom and my dad was doing what they did, they both was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
They both was, you know what I'm saying? So at the time I was in a before the album actually finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was 17, I was just more poetic, really
mm-hmm.
getting into my artistry.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time the album was finished, when I was 19, I was probably more towards 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a depression.
Okay.
And I really just started thinking, like, what's the point, like, suicidal type shit, but
mm-hmm.
I looked at, especially being Lafayette.
Right, yeah.
I looked at life like, wait, so we get money, we pay for somewhere to be at, find somebody, marry, have kids, and then we just die.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. Like, you feel me? Like, so it really
pretty
put,
much.
Yeah, it really put me in like a vibe of like, what's the point? Like, I was really
yeah.
trying to find and search the point. Like I've always believed in God and,
mm-hmm.
and energy and shit like that, but
mm-hmm.
it still made me look at it like, why is it like this?
Right.
Like, why? I used to think, why don't he talk to us and why this and the third, but now I learned that at the end of the day, he made all of us to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's not going to answer your prayers in different ways. He's not going to answer you like, hey, yeah, you just need to do this, that, and the third. You feel me?
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, it's like you could go out and search for what you're looking for
mm-hmm.
through other human beings.
Other things. Yeah, yeah. I say it all the time. I actually made a tweet, like, probably like a few months ago, I was like, if you think that God is gonna, like, you're gonna hear like this deep voice, you know, talking to you, I was like, you are sadly mistaken.
Exactly.
Like, that ain't, no, like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
not, that ain't gonna happen.
Exactly. That ain't what it
so,
is.
I mean, sometimes, like, you be in your head and God be in your head with you, like, you just be like, whoa. You know, like, wait, what was that?
Exactly. Or when you ask for a sign and, you get it, like, I was the type of, like, for instance, the Killer song
mm-hmm.
on Double A.
That's your joint song, like, we're going to have to run that.
Yeah, I got you.
Love-wise,
mm-hmm. like, growing up, I've seen a lot of broken relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my grandparents, they were married, but I found out my grandpa had, like, a little side chick.
Dang.
Just at the third, and that kind of hurt me because
mm-hmm.
I didn't understand at the
mm-hmm.
time. You know, when you're thinking like everything all good.
Yeah.
You know, cause I look at my grandparents like my parents.
Right.
That was the.
So they raised one. You?
Yeah, because my father was deceased. He died at 17.
Dang.
So I never really, I either didn't get to see him or I don't remember. Like, I was probably months old or something like that.
Dang.
So, I say that to say that was that broken relationship, and my mama was a single mother. She had a little relationship here and there,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, it wasn't like a stable thing. And the
right.
thing with my grandparents, that was broken to me. Like, he had somebody on the side that's in the third,
mm-hmm.
and when I told her about it or some shit like that, or not even say I put her to the side and told her about it, I think I brought it up when I was mad or something. They must have did something, and
mm-hmm.
it had me mad, and I just brought it up. And she stopped me in my tracks and was like, you don't think I know that type shit. And that's when they really sat there and hit me like, what the fuck? Going on, you know?
I mean, but you gotta just think. You gotta think.
I know now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, I'm telling you how I felt like.
Yeah, at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, yeah, like I say that all the time. Like I be saying it all the time. I be like how like older people, older black people, like how married couples, like how they still together.
Exactly.
Like, you know, it wasn't easy.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
It was not easy. So you got to pick your battles, man.
You really do.
You
got to
pick your battles.
That's why when I start getting into relationships and shit, I'll be so wholehearted. You know what I'm saying? I kind of set myself up because people still playing at 17, 18.
Yeah.
You know, people playing. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm not by any means saying that you should accept, like, unfaithfulness. But what I'm saying is, like, you got to, like... You know, like, if you're married to someone, like, if you, like, made a covenant and you and this person could not even win and got married, you signed no papers. If you and this person had made a covenant together that y'all was going to be, like, together, like, a union forever and ever, like, you got to stand by. Like, you can't get out of that. Like, it's a covenant. Like, you take covenants really serious. So if you ever make a covenant with anybody, you are, like, in debt to that person forever. I don't care what happens. Fix it. Make it work.
We don't need a fight no more. We acting like fools, man. Two fools in love. I brought you a ticket, baby, but you never got on that plane. We acting like
that's what you just gotta do. But exactly. So you put yourself in a situation with a person that you know is like-minded and like-spirited, so
exactly.
You ain't gonna have to deal with that.
I didn't know that. I love so hard. It's like, yeah. I still saw hope after, you know, because I had every relationship I was in, I've been cheated on.
Like, cold-blooded.
To this day.
For real?
Yeah, to this day.
Peace and love. Peace and blessings upon Dante. We got to get him a little, a little faithful,
I mean, it is what it is. It made me, that's why I said I'm a real person that embraces understanding.
Yeah.
And it made me look at it like, okay, people are human.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't just be jumping into shit like that, like just all the way in.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I kind of would know. Mm-hmm. If ever the opportunity would come about, I would know. Mm-hmm. But still, it's like all that past shit. It made me kind of like the trust issues came about, and it just made me kind of approach that type of situation different.
But you know what? Yeah, and approach it different, but always like don't dwell on it.
Of course,
don't dwell on it. You know, like don't let it prevent you from getting to where you need to be or getting what you want. Just because, you know, it's like, you do what you always done, you get what you always got. So just change your ways of doing it. But don't be bitter about what happened, because you learned from it. That was your experience. You're supposed to experience that to be able to know what you ultimately want.
Exactly.
You know, like, because how you going to want something that you don't know how I feel not to have it?
Exactly.
You know, like, if that makes sense. Oh, yeah,
trust.
It
does. That's why I said, like, I know if ever it came to a situation where it was, like, some actual faithful shit, it's like, I'm a nigga that like, I wouldn't give to some breakfast or some shit. Like, I massage your feet, shit. Like, you feel me? Just, I'm a romantic at heart.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, that's why I was, like, kind of threw me off, because
yeah,
it made me stray away from that.
And not to cut you off, but you know what? Like, because, like, younger, when I was younger, like, I wouldn't have liked the guy like that. Like, I wouldn't have. I would have been like, he's trying to rub my feet. He's trying to massage my, like, I wouldn't have. When I was that young, so you got to just think. The sisters that you was affiliating with was probably, what, how old?
Like, 23 at the oldest.
See, I mean,
exactly, I was still young, you know?
Yeah. So that's why
I said it was like, it was probably my fault. Because, like, I shouldn't have been that committed at
that age. It's not your fault. Like, that's just who you are at heart.
Yeah.
So you could only be you.
Yeah.
And it could just not work if it's not for you.
Exactly.
So let me see. So what I wanted to go into next is the drug use, because. Because once we got to which album, it was like...
Double A for sure.
Yes. Double A, which is really heavily drug influenced.
Heavily.
And let me tell you what my favorite joint, like my favorite joint, you probably already know what my favorite joint is. I think this is like my favorite joint of anything that you've done.
What?
That Mind Trip.
Oh, shit.
Man, like, I'm like, what was he thinking? Like, what were you thinking?
Yeah. That was real life. That was when I said we was 4 deep in a hoopie.
Yes.
And when I told you we came out here 4 deep.
Yeah, in the Honda.
Ride slow.
We got to run that. We got to run that. And that bass. Yes.
I got you. it's like Double A. It was a lot of shit I didn't talk about in my music.
Yeah.
Double A was my chance to...
You jumped off the porch.
Yeah. It was my chance to really... Tell
you
it,
jumped
like
off.
Tell niggas what's going on, you know.
Yes.
And
so this was when you was in Hollywood.
Yeah. Double A. I'm glad you finally, like, it's crazy we finally talking about this, but Double A was the whole concept of Double A.
Yeah.
Was 2015.
Okay.
Any and everything that happened in 2015.
Okay.
And like I told you, we came out here. We want to just play it right now?
Yeah, run it.
And it was basically everything that happened out here. From, I believe, either, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I started the first song, you remember, Strictly For My Nigga? Post Some Nigga For My Nigga. That shit was about wine.
Okay.
2014. New Year's, a bum on the side of the street pull out a knife on me, and it was more like he was being belligerent, big, like, it wasn't even my fault. He was being belligerent, and like, he like bumped into me on some crazy ass shit. I'm like, yo, bro, back the fuck up, like, you got me fucked up, like, don't do that, like, you feel me? And so he got to acting like he was gonna square up, so I squared up with him too, and I noticed
somebody on the street.
Yeah, this random nigga on the street, and I noticed he reached for his pants and he pulled something out and he swung it at me. And I'm pretty quick, so I leaned him.
Yeah.
And after I leaned him, I noticed what it was. I'm like, this nigga just tried to kill me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I got on the phone, man. I made a call.
Yeah.
My niggas pulled right up. You know what I'm saying? And Wine hopped out first and got in his face, like basically distracting. I came right from behind, clocked that nigga so hard. That's probably the hardest I ever hit somebody in my life. I fell too with him. Boom. He was out cold. So that was what I was talking about on the first song. And throughout the whole Double A, it was in 2015. Like, that's when I got on bars.
Hold that thought though. Let's let this run.
Yeah, run it. Sometimes I feel like I don't even know what I'm on.
gotta keep that OG, you know I'm stoned. Nah, why these niggas think they on what I'm on? But they not, so I had to put them in a spot. So I had to leave them on the block. Don't ever get close to me, I swear to God I'm too gone. Put that on my rosary. This is where my mind starts tripping and my time starts slipping. This is where my mind starts tripping and my time starts slipping. This is where my mind starts tripping and my time starts slipping. This is where my mind starts tripping and my time starts slipping. Hey, I've been on the bars, I'm not myself right now. Sipping too much liquor, not myself right now. I swear I'm not myself right now. I need way more drugs, I'm not myself right now. I've been lighting off, I'm not myself right now. I hear the talk, they say I need some help right now. I probably need some help right now. But the way this shit make me feel, this is my help right now. All this shit be fucking up my health though. But I'm stuck, it's just like Velcro. They tell me get up of that shit, I be like hell no. Nigga, what you even care for? This is what my mind.
To be continued.